about the desires of our heart, the desires that go on inside of us, right? In the book of James, there's a great scripture. James says here, he writes here, and he says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So I think there's this bit of this, like, a flow chart, if you will. I haven't used that word in a long time, but it seems like it starts off when someone gets tempted, they're dragged away by their evil desire. So they have a desire that is not godly, they have a desire that is sinful, and they have that inside of them, and they get dragged away by it, right? They think about it, they want it, and it sits with them. But sin hasn't happened yet, okay? Because what does it say? Once the evil desire is conceived, all right, or something happens, something it's acted upon, that desire is acted upon, then it gives birth to sin, and then sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Right? So that's the way, I think that's the way it goes, right? Evil desire, then once you have an evil desire, once the evil desire is acted upon, then it gives birth to sin, then it gives birth to death. And the best way I could think about it as an example was, if you ever ate unhealthy and then you tried to change to eat healthy, probably can connect with this a little bit. I can connect with this with that. So in like mid-2017, I decided, okay, I need to be more healthy. Okay? I used to give into the desire to eat very unhealthy food. McDonald's, Hungry Jack's, HSPs, and all these sorts of things. I would just go out on a limb and eat it whenever I wanted. When I was hungry for it, I'd go and get it. Okay? Because I just wanted to eat it, all right? And then I made the decision, oh, hold on. I need to be more healthy here. I need to try and get fit. I want to lose a bit of weight. And so I decided the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to eat healthy, okay? Now, I made that decision, okay? And there's a lot of other things that happened, but I made that decision. But after I made that decision, do you think that I still had desires to eat McDonald's and Hungry Jack's and KFC and HSPs? Yes. Of course not. No, of course I did, right? Of course I had those desires. If not, the desire was actually stronger. Yeah. Right? Then when I wasn't, when I was continually giving in, now because I'm trying to be healthy, the desire was even stronger to want to eat unhealthy food. But praise God, most of the time, I didn't give in to those desires. Right? I did have those cravings, I did have those feelings, but I'd drive past a McDonald's and I'd get into the left lane to pull off, and then I went back into the right lane, and I went straight, you know. And when I'm at a food court and I want to eat unhealthy food, I decide to get like a Subway, and Subway's healthy, okay? So, you know. And
Meatballs.
Tyson and I get the meat. Anyway. But the point is this, to illustrate, my desire to eat the junk food and to eat unhealthy wasn't the sin yet, right? But once that desire was given into and I went and I bought the quarter pounder and I ate the quarter pounder, that gives birth to the sin. Okay. Does that make sense? All right? And I think that's the way it goes. And so if you map this on here onto what's happening in Genesis 4 with Cain, right, we see that Cain, he's obviously not that faithful to God, okay? And then God rejects his offering, and then he becomes angry, and then now he's at that crossroads moment. Because his desire now, God, I think, knew that he desired to do evil. But God says, hey, why are you feeling this way? What are you doing? Think about what you're about to do. There is a way out here. You can do the right thing and be accepted. But if you don't, then that desire is going to give birth to sin, and sin is going to get you, and it is going to master you. It is going to rule over you, right? And that's what, I think that's, this is the flowchart of what's happening to Cain. But the thing is, God obviously wanted Cain to not give in to that desire. The evil desire that Cain was having, God wanted him to not give in to that. He didn't want him to give in to sin. He wanted him to be righteous. He wanted him to be faithful, right? 2 Peter 3 talks about how God doesn't want anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. And so God wanted Cain to come to repentance, but he didn't. He gave in to his evil desire. It gave birth to sin, and we know how it goes from there. And I think this question of desire is something that we need to all think about for ourselves. How are we when it comes to our evil desires? The inclinations of our heart, our sinful nature. What are we like when we have those desires? Because the scriptures say it's if you desire to sin and to do a sin, it's not sin yet, but you're very, very close. So when those desires come to you, what do you do? Do you just think, we'll just see how we go? And you just give in anyway. That's the way it always was with me. I think, I'm not going to fight it. We'll just see what happens. Of course I'm going to give in to sin. Right? But what are you like when it comes to fighting those evil desires? Because I think what happens is we get controlled by them in the end. We allow our evil desires to be the thing that control us. As God says to Cain here, sin was going to master him if he gave in to that desire. I think, what do we like when we have our evil desires? Do we fight them? Do we think, no, man, I'm not going to allow this thing to get me. I'm not going to allow my evil desire to control me, to rule me. Or do you think, this is just a bit too hard. I've fought this before, and I'm just going to give in anyway, so I'm just going to give up. Because I think that is what happens. That's what happens with me. I've given in so many times to my evil desires. I've just allowed them to take over me. But I think we can't allow our evil desires to control us. We have to fight to the death for our sin. To avoid it, right? Hebrews, what does Hebrews say? That we have not yet resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. That's what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross so that we could now fight sin and for it to mean something. And so what do we like when it comes to those evil desires? Do we get controlled and taken away, or do we allow ourselves to fight through faith, through the scriptures, through the Spirit, to walk away from those evil desires, to squash them and to master them the way that God wants us to? Amen. Let's be people that do that. Let's master our evil desires. Amen? Amen. All right, point number two here. 5 minutes. Amen. Okay. Okay, so the question of confession. I think, in verse 9, after Cain murders Abel, God comes up to Cain and says, "Where's your brother Abel?" Right? And Cain just sits there and, he responds finally. He didn't respond to the first question, by the way, or the first three questions. He responds to this one. And, of course, he's really honest, right? Yeah. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I mean, if you hear something like that, you just, and I'm sure I've answered like that to my parents and to, anyway. But, what's God doing here? God knows where where Abel is, right? God knows where Abel is, so why is he asking that? Well, I think he's giving him a chance to come clean, to confess, to be open. Now, we don't know what happened, what would have happened if he actually did confess his sin and was open, but he had a choice still, didn't he? Yeah. Cain had a choice to be open and say, "Hey, yep, Father, I murdered him. I killed him. What do I do?" But instead he decides to lie and to conceal it. Right? And I think, again, could jump here, but I think, again, the question to ask ourselves is, of confession is, how are you like when it comes to being open about your sin? Because those evil desires that we have, guess what? You will give into it at some point. How do I know? Because we're human. Those evil desires will give birth to sin at times. But when that does happen, what do you do with that? Do you allow it to linger and to sit there and say, "Okay, yeah, I'm just going to allow it to be in here. I'm not going to tell anyone about it." Or do you go, no, man, I got to talk to a brother. I got to talk to a sister. I have to confess. I have to be open about what's going on in my life, what I've given into. Right? The Bible talks a lot about confession. Just jot these ones down if you want. 1 John 1:8, right? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But James 5:16 tells us, James says, confess your sins to each other. Right? Confess your sins to one another. And also pray for each other so that you may be healed. Right? And in Psalm 32 and Proverbs 28, I love Proverbs 28, whoever conceals his sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Amen. Amen. Our sin is, the intention of our sin, once we do give in to our evil desires and we do sin, it cannot stay in here. We need to be quick to confess. We need to be quick to be open. But I think what happens, because I know this has happened for me, is we just let it linger. When I sin, I'm just going to keep it in here and I'll wait for an opportune time to confess my faith. Opportune time? What is that? Oh, teen camp, D group next year. Oh, campus retreat D group next year. Oh, when I get with Mike next, when I get with Peter next, when I get with my Bible talk leader next, then I'll confess it. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible's pretty clear. Just confess your sin. You don't have to wait for a particular time. We have to be open about it, right? And I think there's so many benefits of being open that the scriptures talk about. And I think that's what we have to do. You know, I think it is just such an amazing thing. I mean, the world does it. The world has, you know, groups that literally get together to talk about what's going on in their lives, right? Addictions, things like that. They have that. And it helps them. And they didn't come up with that by their own wisdom, I don't think. I don't think they came up with it just like, oh yeah, this is a great idea. Let's talk about our problems. Talk about what we're addicted to and how we can help each other. That's a biblical concept. God had that figured out way before we did. No psychologist, no counselor came up with that. It came in through the scriptures. And so let's be open. If there's a sin right now, maybe that's come to your heart, that you've maybe thought, I have not talked about this ever and I never will. Don't do that. Be open. Grab your closest friend, your brother and sister, and say, hey, there's been something that's been going on and I need to talk about this. I want to be open right now. And because when we do that, it lightens the load and we become refreshed and we can go again and keep living for God. Amen. All right. Point number three. The question of repentance here, you know, very interesting. Can't read it. Don't have the time. But after God curses Cain, Cain says this, right? My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land. I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Now, that might look pretty, like, really heartfelt, okay, at first glance, but who's it all about? Let's see how many times he talks about himself. All right, my punishment is more than I can bear. You're driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from you. I will be a restless wanderer, and whoever finds me will kill me. Me, 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 me. Right? Now, by the way, I can get very me, 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 me. I think we all can. But I think, question of, if we're going to put this in biblical terms, Cain, I think, is having worldly sorrow. Because worldly sorrow versus godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7, right? Godly sorrow brings repentance or brings change, whereas worldly sorrow brings death. Okay, so godly sorrow is a true and realization of how my sin and what I have done hurts God, how it hurts others, and because of that, I'm going to change. But worldly sorrow is someone who just sits there, messes up with their sin or whatever it might be, and just has their own little pity party. And only reason I know, because I've done it. I'm sure we've all done it at some point. We become like this. Please don't interrupt me while I'm wallowing in self-pity. That's what we become sometimes when we continually give in to our evil desires. And we laugh at it, and it is, you know, but it's a serious thing. And self-pity and wallowing about ourselves, all it does is nothing. It does nothing. You're not going to repent. You're not going to change. You're just going to sit there just talking about yourself the whole time. But no, I think God's question here to Cain, what have you done, is trying to help him to say, hey, you got to change, man. You got to repent here, right? And trying to get him to see that. And so I think, you know, let's not be self-piteous when it comes to what we give into. When it comes to our sin, when we mess up, don't think, oh man, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Think, man, woe is God. Man, I've hurt God here. What am I doing? I got to change. I can't allow this to be the thing that masters me. Yeah. When you're self-piteous, you've allowed sin to master you, rather than you mastering it. Let it bring repentance. All right, and just quickly here, wrapping up, you know, I think it's amazing, even though Cain does all of these things, God still says to him, you know, he goes, woe is me, woe is me. God says to him, hey, not so. No one's going to kill you, right? Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance 7 times. Then it says the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. And you think, I think, man, Cain deserves to die for what he did to his brother. But God still says, no one's going to hurt you. I'm going to protect you. You're going to suffer because you've sinned, but I'm still going to look out for you. Isn't that amazing? It's like, what? And what is this? I think this is a picture of God's grace. Yes. It is a grace snapshot in some sense. But you know what is amazing? that we today, we get the picture of the fullness of the grace of God. Because of Jesus and what he's done by going to the cross, dying for us, you're in my sin, he's able to say, hey, you're forgiven. That, yeah, you've just as Abel died because of someone else's sin, Jesus had to die because of yours and my sin. And but because of Jesus' death, we are now able to be redeemed and atoned and come into a relationship with him. Isn't that incredibly amazing? And why does Jesus die on the cross? Well, because he loves us. He loves us, and his blood that was shed on the cross for you and I protects us from the judgment of God. Just as the Passover lamb in Exodus protected the Israelites from the judgment of the angel of death, Jesus' blood protects us. What an incredible God we have. And because of Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection, that's the reason we can fight our evil desires. Because when we stuff up and give in to him, we're forgiven. That's the reason we can confess, to come open so we can be forgiven. And that's the reason we can repent, because Jesus died on the cross and loves us. And so I want to just encourage you, if you're visiting here today, if you don't know about this love and the grace of God, oh my goodness, get to know about it. Amen. Study the Bible. Figure out what the scriptures say about God and about what he's done. And if you're a disciple here, I want to encourage you, continue to work out your repentance, your salvation, work out everything because of what Jesus has done. Amen. Fill yourself with Jesus. Fill yourself with God, and let's be people who glorify him. Amen. Thank you so much. God be glorified.